Well, welcome to the Duff and Quarters podcast brought to you by Tab Touch. Today, live from Widgiemooltha, we dissect Melbourne's defeat of Hawthorn, Collingwood's defeat of GWS, have a little bit of a look ahead at the weekend, and Melbourne and those empty seats.
What's your name?
You're quite brilliant.
Yeah, terrific.
Oh, that is... Oh, that's what it is.
The stadium holds its breath.
It's Duff and Quarters.
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Well, hello, everybody. It's Tuesday. It's time for the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch, edition one for preliminary final week. We have in the studio, fresh back from the goldfields, where he ran amok...
Lost my wallet.
Ran aground.
Smashed my glasses.
Ran around like a chook with its head cut off. Glenn yes. Quartermain, the sports editor of the Sunday Times. I am Mark Duffield, the senior football writer at the West Australian. Quarters, not a great weekend for you. You've already mentioned your wallet. The Hawks lost.
And our car was ransacked. We had our cards stolen and someone went and had a bit of a party on us. So it wasn't a good weekend.
That was the Hawthorn boys getting ready for Mad Monday.
And to top it off, the Hawks went out in straight sets. But I'm actually on... You know, we'll get to the Hawks in a little while, but I'm actually giving the Hawks a big tick. As a supporter, if you look at it in reality, I think it was a pretty good year.
Absolutely.
A couple of areas to address, but it was, and they weren't disgraced in the finals either.
No one had them top six.
No.
They finished top six in the end, so that's a...
But I have a question for you, and it's sort of around the area I've just been, but where the hell is Widgiemooltha?
Widgiemooltha is between Kalgoorlie, Coolgardie and Norseman.
Well, I know where it is. It's 630 kilometres east of Perth. But I looked it up after reading your column the other day.
Between Kalgoorlie and Norseman.
And you do raise a good point in your column the other day. And the point was not lost to me when I was watching a bit of... bit of Fox footy last night too.
Three out of four.
There's not a lot of discussion about West Coast.
No.
Apparently they are just the Widgiemooltha seconds. There's not a lot of discussion. They seem to have gone back of mind very quickly, the Eagles.
Look, I'm going to pay Melbourne enormous respect here. Melbourne are playing fantastic football. They have a powerful midfield. They have a powerful brand that will hold up in finals football. They're very strong around the contest. It's chaos football, and it's by and large about territory quickly.
Yep.
Which is, it's a fantastic way to play. It holds up under heat. That's great. So I give them a good chance when they come here. But they are coming here to play the team that has shown itself all year to be the second best team in the competition. They are coming here to play a team that is 10-3 at its home ground. They are coming here to play a team that is 3-1 against the other preliminary finalists. They are coming here to play a team that is 11-0 with Josh Kennedy and Jack Darling in the team. And Josh Kennedy and Jack Darling will be out there this weekend. And they weren't out there when Melbourne beat them by 17 points.
Jack Darling, what, a quarter? Not even a quarter. Yeah, so look, I agree. I think the thing about Melbourne is, yeah, chaos footy. But I think with Hawthorn at the weekend, there were moments there where Hawthorn exposed Melbourne a bit with the territory football that they play.
Yep.
And I think West Coast is a upgraded brand of how Hawthorn plays. They play the same sort of footy, but better. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that will trouble Melbourne this week. Yes, the chaos brand has been electric and it's exciting and it has got them to where they are now, but I think they might finally meet their match this week.
Well, I think it's going to be a great game.
Yep.
And I certainly don't rule out Melbourne's prospects.
Not at all.
I'm just wondering how West Coast got to be underdogs.
Yeah.
In many people's eyes. And in fact, I heard this about two or three times on the couch on Fox Footy last night. West Coast deserves to be favourites. Oh, but I'm tipping Melbourne.
Yeah.
How do you get to that?
Oh, yeah.
That's a contradictory statement.
Well, from the tenor of what I heard last night, Melbourne's won 3 in a row. Just talking them up.
Right.
Just steady on a bit, boys. Fantastic footy you're playing, but you've really achieved not much yet. So just...
I tell you what I did like about the D's on Friday night was the form of Christian Petrarca, who I thought wasn't great in the first final and looked like he was still getting his head around the urgency and intensity required to play in finals footy.
Yeah, he's your dusty type in the finals, isn't he?
Yeah, powerful, doesn't get knocked off the ball, plays strong, plays taller than his height, and he's a good finisher as well. I thought he was terrific, particularly early in the game against the Hawks, helped Melbourne get a pretty strong hold on the game.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a significant development for the D's, because obviously when you're playing your first, second, third finals, players are still getting their heads around what it takes. And you're seeing more and more Melbourne players put their hand up and say, I can do this. Obviously, Jack Viney has, Tom McDonald has, I think Clayton Oliver has, Angus Brayshaw in the first final did, and I think Petrarca was a significant step for them. Max Gawn, we expect him to be stellar, as he has been all year.
Jetta Hibbard, yeah.
But Darling and Kennedy will worry the hell out of
them. It'll stretch them. It really will stretch them. And look, just on the Hawks, Burgoyne kicks that goal, doesn't hit the post. The momentum is with Hawthorn.
Gunston,
and the Melbourne's, Gunston. And the sphincter's a little tight, Duff. I just think that they were, in both games, Hawthorn had opportunities and were very inaccurate, I think. But
the sphincters are a little tight anyway. It's all those Cuban cigars and cognac. It does tighten the sphincter.
I just think Hawthorn did expose Melbourne at times, and I think it'll be very interesting to West Coast. That's all I'll say. But I think Melbourne thoroughly deserved the win. It was the better side on the night. With the Hawks, I think they were just, Hawthorn needs a good midfielder, a good defender, and a good forward, and they can challenge. I think they're close, but they're just not quite. And I think what Alistair Clarkson said was spot on, in that your bottom four win your flags, your four worst players, and our four worst players are far worse than the other teams that are up and about at the moment, and you get exposed for that.
Don't forget two significant outs for the Hawks pre-game too.
O'Meara Stratton.
O'Meara and Stratton.
And, you add to that, no Birchall all year, and Rioli, at mid-season exit, and basically played no footy, really hurt Hawthorn. You're one down in your squad and a significant September performer. So they were caught in the hop a bit, the Hawks. And look, I think there was a lot of growth, and those two finals, kids like Morrison and Warple will really, really benefit from those two finals in front of 90,000 at the G.
Interesting scenario that the Hawks, they're probably about to enter interesting territory, I think. We saw Geelong make a preliminary final last year, have an exit, a pretty disappointing exit against Adelaide in Adelaide. They now don't have a great finals record. Geelong are trying to transition without bottoming out. I'm starting to wonder whether it is going to work. And Sydney, I think, similar scenario at Sydney. I don't think it is going to work at Sydney. I think Sydney is going to have to drift a little bit.
Yeah. I don't see that happening too much at Hawthorn. I think the really interesting question at Hawthorn is, do they persist with the territory game? Or do they go to the more chaos ball? There has to be and don't worry, Clarkson will be all over it, but there has to be a time where you make that decision. I think they'll go big time after Shield, Dylan Shield at GWS. I reckon.
What about Stephen May?
Look, he'd be really handy, but I'm not sure if he's going to end up at Hawthorn, but he'd be really, really handy. But I reckon if you could have one, if Clarkson could pick one player, I reckon another elite midfielder. So, and I think a strong elite midfielder like Dylan Shield, you'd probably pick him ahead of Wingard if Wingard was available.
I think Wingard's got a bit to prove, I think.
Yeah, I think Shield would be their number one pick if they could get him there. So Stephen May would be great, but I think he'd be ahead of in the queue.
So the Bush Telegraph appears to have Stephen May bound for Collingwood, who are obviously in need of tall defenders. The word is that Darcy Moore will not be at Collingwood.
He's going to Sydney.
So and that may help the Swans. Makes you wonder why they recontracted Heath Grundy if they're so sure about Darcy Moore. I think the bidding for Shield will be pretty hot.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But, you wouldn't discount Hawthorn. They've got a good track record in this area. They've got a good war chest too. Very good war chest. So it'll be interesting to see how they go. But, big tick for the Hawks, I reckon, this year.
Yeah, I give them a tick. I had them probably just outside of
the 8th. I had them 8th, 9th, 10th, around that area.
And they've certainly been better than that. I thought the 4th spot flattered them a little bit at the end of the home and the way around. I think we discussed this a few weeks out, quarters. We looked at their draw and we thought, these guys are going to rattle home big time. The thing about having a good coach is you don't lose many, you should win, do you?
They won 5 of 6 under 10 points this year, Hawks. So I think
they did get beaten by Brisbane twice.
But if you had have said Brisbane are going to pull your pants down twice, and they did pull Hawthorn's pants down twice and finish in the top four, you just wouldn't accept that. That's not going to happen. So before we get on to GWS Collingwood, Duff, this issue with the Melbourne supporters. Now, for me, it's a Melbourne raid.
Before you go there, let's stay with Hawthorn for just one question. This guy's one of your favourites. I'm going to put the question to you. Sean Burgoyne. Two disappointing finals.
Well, he's contracted for another year. I persist with Burgoyne. I think he's going to win you more than he's going to lose you. And I think still, okay, yeah, he did have two disappointing finals, but he's still going to be great value in the home and away season. And you'd back him in another final, really, wouldn't you? He will be a year older. I still think there's great value in the home and away season for him.
Their pattern has been to move early rather than later.
That has been,
on
yes.
On these players, you look at Lewis and Mitchell, you look at Hodge as well.
Was recontracted quite late in the year for another year.
Yeah, he's such a silky player. He's so sure, so fundamentally sound. I'm concerned by what I saw two games in a row.
Yeah, because it catches up with you, age catches up with you. Yeah. I have similar concerns for Joel Selwood.
Yeah.
Because he's just such a warrior and has been such a great player. But he's never been overly quick. And I think with him, when the rest deserts him, Duff, you're just laughing at my shirt.
I am laughing at
you.
The great George Costanza line.
It's not a lie if you believe it, Duff. Remember that. I'd stick with him. Melbourne and the empty seats. I think it's been some mischief, I think, from Neil Mitchell in Melbourne, suggesting that Melbourne supporters buy up and don't turn up. The only thing I'll say is, I mean, that's not going to happen. It's just nonsense anyway.
And we only bought 2,600.
Yeah, it's just nonsense.
So the worst possible case scenario for West Coast, not that there's a worst case scenario for West Coast as far as the crowd goes, is that they'll have a crowd of 57,400 there. If none of them turn up. I mean, how do you... Surely you buy your tickets, you get more of your own supporters there and you make more noise.
So Melbourne's just woken up on the Monday morning and realised, oh, hell, we have to travel to Perth. We have to travel to Western Australia. And it's going to cost them. Well, welcome to the reality, guys, because this West Australians fork out a fortune every September to go and see their teams playing.
Not just in September,
yeah,
quarters.
During the season as well. Exactly, Duff.
People, Western Australian football supporters, many of them make pilgrimages mid-season to watch one of their teams play.
That's the beauty of playing. If you're playing in September, it's a national comp. Just be happy you're alive and in it.
Yeah.
And the Eagles finished top two, Melbourne.
And come over and see.
You didn't finish top four.
Come over and see a great stadium.
Yeah, exactly. You know, exactly.
It's one. Life doesn't begin and end at the MCG.
No.
Although the AFL seems to think so with their grand final contract. But anyway, haven't we, Glenn?
Yes, we have.
I found it nonsensical, really, and I thought it was just a bit of mischief.
It was laughable. Yeah. And I think it will be proven so. I think it was a day of fodder for Neil Mitchell. Have a bit of fun on the airwaves and then you move on. And the Herald Sun as well, just move on, and they will.
There'll be 59,000 plus there again on Saturday.
And there'll be some noise. And you know, the great thing about preliminary finals is you generally got a good mix of supporters. Well, in this case, it'll be West Coast dominant, but MCG tends to be, grand final day is diluted a bit because you have your corporates. You do have your supporters from each club, but the sound is diluted a bit because of all the non-participating supporters.
There's a lot of golf clapping going on.
A lot of golf, yeah, exactly.
On grand final.
But in preliminary final, it's more pure footy because you do have a good mix of the both fans from both teams.
Yeah, they rule.
And it's that footy. It's sort of like it's sudden death footy. But in a way, it's a bit tentative because players don't want to be hurt for the following week. It's a really strange weekend of football.
And the best preliminary finals are the ones between the big Melbourne clubs at the MCG.
So we're talking 100 clicks at the MCG on Friday night, Richmond-Collingwood.
Well, it'll be very close. Yeah. I mean, it depends on how many members turn up and all those sorts of things. But I remember my most memorable preliminary final at the MCG was Carlton v Essendon 1999. Now, that was the game when Fraser Brown dragged Dean Wallace down in the centre square.
Yeah.
And basically, game-saving tackle for the Blues. All the Essendon supporters in the press box started throwing things at the window, aimed in Dean Wallace's general direction, I have to say. And it was probably the disappointment of losing that game, because I think Essendon went to that game feeling like they only had to turn up to win and go into the grand final. The disappointment of losing that game drove the Bombers to have the season that they had in 2000, but there was somewhere north of 90,000 there that day, and it was epic. The noise from the crowd, they were hollering.
Mm-hmm.
Loudest crowd I've heard.
Well, I'm tipping you might hear it pretty similar on Saturday afternoon.
Yes. So that was fantastic, and they got the game that did justice.
They're amazing weekends, preliminary weekends. I remember a couple of years ago, Hawthorn was playing Port, and it was that game where Port was coming back, and Hawthorn almost stopped to a hold at three-quarter time.
Yes.
I was working. I got up out of my seat because I couldn't bear it.
2014.
I went for a wander, and I just had my phone AFL app on my phone, but with no sound or anything. It was just ticking over, and it went from like 24. And I've gone for a walk around the block down to 18. And I'm like, oh, down to 12. And then it was 6.
And then it was 5.
And then it was... And then Port scored. I thought, oh no, it's in there. You know, it's in their forward line. And I'm just walking along the street, and the streets were deserted. And I just looked, and it said final score. And I've just given out this big yes. And across the road, this bloke's looking at me, thinking something strange going on over there. some bloke walking around on his own on a quiet afternoon, just screaming things out. But they are games that just leave you shaking at the end of them. And then you wake up the Monday, and hopefully you're in a grand final.
Yeah, no, it is a magical time, I think. You can see the clubs can see the finish line. GWS Collingwood, I was staggered by how bad GWS were
first quarter. And how wasted opportunities from Collingwood in that first. Yeah. So it was a strange first quarter in that GWS was asleep. And Collingwood just could not capitalise, and it almost cost them in the end. You know, in the end, they were just 10 points. So, and the better side won. I feel really sorry for GWS. I don't think they're in need of, provided they don't lose too many more, they just need a good run with injuries. I think Toby Green just got found out for lack of run in the finals.
Suggestion is he had several painkillers to play both games.
Well, that was the worst game I've just about seen him play against Collingwood, and it was just not the Toby Green we're used to seeing. They did pretty well to get to where they were as well, you know, given their injury run. So I'd really like to see them have a good run of it. And I'm not sure what Brett Deledio's intentions are. He hasn't announced it yet, I don't think. I hope he plays on. I'd love to see him rewarded with a premiership medallion.
It was a strange exit for Ryan Griffin, wasn't it? It looked like he spoke to Coach Leon Cameron on the way off the ground and then basically announced his retirement in the rooms after. Given what the ceremonial nature of a player of Griffin's stature's retirement would be these days, it was a funny way for a player like that to go out.
Yeah, it lacked a bit of oomph, didn't it? Mm. I'd tell you the two blokes, and not that they needed to grow in stature in my eyes because I'm a huge rat, but Coniglio and Whitfield, their final series was just outstanding. Yep. Their game at the weekend was outstanding. Had they have won, would have been largely on their backs. And also a big tick to Phil Davis. I've been lauding his courage for weeks, but played that whole game with a busted AC joint, I reckon. So incredible effort from him.
Yeah, he's a very good player. Did a magnificent job on Lance Franklin in the first final, and he certainly they struggled to find a matchup for Phil Davis on the weekend. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I did. He was definitely.
He was not right for Mason Cox, and he was not right for Jordan
McGoey. And they're lucky he's banged up.
And Lord, how did they need someone to play on Jordan Tagoe? Because if he'd kicked straight, he would have torn that game to shreds.
Yeah, he would have, absolutely. I didn't mind Lobb's game as well. You can see why the clubs over here are interested, and many clubs are interested. So I thought he stood up a bit too, took some good contested marks when it counted, put himself in the midst of it. So I'd be going after him.
Yeah, I think he's a must-keep for GWS. Yeah. If I'm GWS, I'm saying Rory Lobb. Yeah. No, sorry, you're staying till the end of your contract, and we're dangling a very big contract in front of you, just because, you know, Dawson Simpson, even if he's fit, he's a C-grade ruckman who battles hard against A and B-grade ruckman. I think they need Lobb to, if they choose to lead the ruck with Dawson Simpson, they need Lobb to give him a chop out.
And he can give you that. He can go down forward too, and he's pretty versatile, you know.
Yeah. Well, that was a really big clunk he took on the weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Himmelberg stood up a bit too, I thought.
Yeah, I like Harry Himmelberg.
Yeah, he's got a lot to offer. So
they need more from Jeremy Cameron.
Yeah, wasn't a great exit from him. Very quiet.
I think he's a player that he gives a bit.
He teases
he's
you.
He's got a fair bit more to give.
That goal he kicked on the spin goal over his shoulder just proves what a great player he is, and it's frustrating watching him because you want to see him do more. If he did that on a regular basis, they'd be pretty hard to beat. There's no shame for them. They had a good season despite their injuries, and I think they'll certainly be in my reckoning for top four next year. I just want to see what happens over the summer.
So if you are them and there's top 10 draft pick bids for Dylan Sheil, and you can free up salary cap room and hopefully nail down other top players.
Yeah, I'd have a crack. I'd look at it. I'm not liking him going. I think he adds to their depth, and the more you chip away at that depth, suddenly you become exposed. But there's a lot of they do have depth, probably the most midfield depth of any team.
So they have Hopper.
Yeah,
they have
he was good too, Hopper. Yeah,
With Zach Williams back in the team, they can always shift Whitfield further up the ground. Whitfield can basically play as a mid. Let's not forget Josh Kelly didn't play
exactly
on the weekend.
He plays, you know, that 10 points.
So, you know, I think that if I was them and there was a really good trade offer for Dylan Sheil,
yeah,
I think I'd be looking long and hard at it, knowing that you're probably going to lose him at the end of next year anyway.
Yeah.
So get the deal done and see what you can make out of it.
If the Pies somehow manage to knock off Richmond, I know who I'll be putting my Norm Smith on, if it's on the Collingwood side of things anyway, and that's still side bottom. I know DeGoey was sensational at the weekend. He is a terrific player and never lets them down, and got him over the line again at the weekend.
Well, he was really the driving force for three quarters against West Coast, wasn't he?
Yep.
And the fact that side bottom was forced to get most of his possessions in the fourth quarter, I think, against West Coast showed you where the game was at, that Collingwood were on the back foot. You're right. If he's winning the ball anywhere from half back forward, the opposition's in big trouble.
Yeah.
He doesn't miss.
Yeah, no, he doesn't. And I'll tell you what, you don't want him having the footy inside 50 either, because he can kick him.
Yeah.
I think his first game when he ever came to prominence was in a TAC Cup grand final. On grand final day, I think he might have kicked seven.
He kicked eight
to announce himself.
Eight is a midfielder
himself,
in attack cut.
The other player I'm just intrigued by is Treloar's return. I mean, he's had two goes at it now, and those strings look okay. And he's just building. You can see he can't put four quarters together, but I think there was it a 12 possession last quarter from him?
12 touches in the last quarter. That's pretty good for a guy coming up for limited prep.
Yeah, he's building into. He's had his two games now, so he'll be even better this week.
Second up in that game, so that often... Well, it found a few GWS players out, didn't it? And Adam Treloar certainly was absolutely magnificent under those circumstances. Do you give them any chance against Richmond?
I give them a silly chance, but I think Richmond will win reasonably comfortably. I'm saying five goals, and I think Richmond's playing West Coast in the GF, but we'll get into that later in the week. But I think the two best sides this year will play in the grand final, and that's nothing against... Collingwood, and that's nothing against Melbourne. They've been to have terrific seasons, but I just think they're just a peg above them.
What do you make of the Dustin Martin mystery? Not training.
He plays
much
this week, mate. I'm in Neil Baum's corner.
He plays, but we have seen guns before in finals. No, he's right. There's nothing wrong with him, and then they go around and hobble around. I mean, Johnny Brown in 2004 springs to mind. James Hurd in 2001. Springs to mind, and basically both admitted afterwards they were pretty sore and sorry for themselves.
I'm playing Dusty at 10%.
Yeah, no, Dusty's playing. I think we're all accepting that.
I will see. I mean,
there has to be something wrong with him for him to be doing so little at training.
Yeah, Gorn's another interesting one too. He's been a bit. I think he trained indoors, and I'm just not sure where he's at. He's playing too,
obviously, somewhere with a high roof.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, look, I'm not too worried about Dusty. I think you'll be okay. They'll get through it. I'm expecting them to get through this week. Before we go, we should congratulate Claremont's Jai Bolton, dual Sandover medalist now after saluting last night. I was there, Optus Stadium. Great night as always. Carl Horsley, a little stiff, had a great year.
Probably had Lachlan Delahunty take too many votes off.
Yeah,
him in the end,
I would have thought
he?
So. But 26, Jai Bolton, I think delisted from Collingwood 2011, 2012, but do you give him any chance of being drafted this year?
Probably at 26, I would say not. And I think probably the thing that counts against Jai Bolton is probably the thing that counted against him in the first place, which is he's a bit slow.
Yep.
But geez, he's brave.
Mm.
And he's really tough. He cops a lot of treatment. He stands up under that treatment. I think he's a super player. And I think if someone were prepared to give him a chance, I think he'd play some AFL football. I think he's good enough to. I just suspect that he will not get that opportunity at his age. He's the same age as Marley and Pickett, obviously, who's running around at South Fremantle. The difference is Pickett is a very, very good athletic player.
And multiple, he can play multiple roles too.
He can. Mind you, he was very disappointing on the weekend for South against West Perth.
He's getting drafted, though. He will be drafted.
It was a bad weekend for me, Quarters, as a South Fremantle supporter. My boys were putrid against the Falcons. Well done to the Falcons. They turned up.
What a remarkable turnaround.
They put the heat on.
Unbelievable turnaround. An unbelievable year from that footy club.
Yeah, no, fantastic effort by the Falcons. I think West Perth had sick players when they played against South Fremantle in that first game. And I think the game got to a point midway through the second quarter where South kicked two or three goals clear, and it was a warm day, and West Perth players who weren't feeling that great, and one of them was Luke Meadows, who probably that day played one of the worst games I've seen him play. They just couldn't find the get up and go to get back into the match, and they fell away pretty badly. That wasn't a true indication of where they were at, and I think they shocked South a little bit when they turned up a completely different team on the weekend.
So I think that I'm reading, not having watched a hell of a lot of Waffle this year, but from what I have seen, I think they're the team that is most likely to challenge Subiaco's supremacy. I think Subiaco wins this week, by the way, but would deserve to. But they're the most likely to be able to challenge them. And it's a great story. You've got this almost invincible air about Subi and just this great story where West Perth's battled insolvency and everything else that's been going off field and just this appearance in a grand final we weren't expecting. It's a great story. And I hope everyone turns up. I'll be there with my brood. We'll be having a kick on the ground after the game. Kids are allowed to go out, and that's going to be a fantastic experience for my kids and for me to have a bit of a kick with them. I'll try not get hit in the head with a footy, which often happens to me when I'm out there in a big crowd. But 20 to 24,000, I think they need to break even to make it a worthwhile exercise and go back there next year. I hope they do. I'm not sure what the forecast is, but even if it is raining, get out there, footy fans, and support the Waffle and support these two teams. Make some noise. Make it a really worthwhile experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it'll be... you mentioned that West Perth are the best-equipped team to maybe cause an upset. I think the problem is South Fremantle were very good against Subiaco.
They were 2 weeks ago,
in the second semi. The problem with Subi is you've got to do what you do for four quarters because they will just keep going at the same level, and that is their great strength. And they had a bit of a slow start against South, but once they got rolling, they just hit that level and they stayed at that level. And every time South fell short of that level, Subi had put two or three goals on, and that was the pattern of the game over the course of the game. South certainly weren't disgraced. I think at various stages of the match, I think West Perth will match Subiaco. Whether they can match them for four quarters and 100 minutes of footy, I don't think they can, and I think Subi will win the flag and they'll be deserving.
And congratulations to Subi too, with Reserves and Colts also playing on grand final day. First time in a long time our team's been undefeated as well. So
well done,
Jared Schofield and the Lions.
We'll be back on Thursday. We'll be taking you through the build-up to the two big games this weekend. Of course, the absolute blockbuster at the MCG on Friday night.
Live from Widgiemooltha too on Thursday, aren't we, Duff?
We'll be going live from the Widgiemooltha pub.
Isn't there only a tavern left there? Is that it?
I think there's a roadhouse. Best chips in Western Australia.
Really?
That's what is on the road sign.
I bet you it is. And I bet you they're not.
Thank you very much for joining us today. We're brought to you by Tab Touch. We'll be back on Thursday to take you through the games. Hope you enjoy the build-up to two massive preliminary finals and the Waffle Grand Final this weekend. Quarters.
Yes.
A PS before we go. The Sandful preliminary final between North Adelaide and Woodville.
So they kicked one goal two while they had 19 on the field.
Over a four-minute period. 5 points is the margin.
They've got some questions to answer, haven't they?
You are the judiciary that gets to decide whether the game gets replayed, whether the result gets reversed, or whether you keep the result in place.
Well, they've kicked 1-2 while they had 19 on the field, and they won by 5 points.
So your thoughts?
They've got to overturn it.
They haven't.
There's another. I know they haven't. It's not. It's a disgrace. That happened in the Neefle as well, apparently. But they won by plenty. I can't tell you the two teams, but the team that won by plenty that had 19 on. So I think you're not going to reverse that. But this one, I reckon, they've been stiff. stiff result, that one.
How does that happen in this day and age when you've got interchange stewards and that kind of thing? How does a team end up with 19 on the field?
Oh, geez, I don't know. I tell you what, I went to a local grand final on Sunday at East Fremantle Oval, and of course, Bull Creek Leeming, my old team. Congratulations, boys. And everyone has to have 50% of game time. And Bull Creek Leeming had a good win after being challenged, and they were undefeated. But it was amazing watching the interchange stewards trying to get these kids on and off to make sure they got 50%. Otherwise, it's null and void. You don't win if you don't get 50% game time into them. And they work off an app, so which you can get, apparently, onto your phone. So I'm not sure how that happened, that they had 19 on the field at Sandford level, which is a good level of football. People need to answer some questions there. I think they've got away with that one.
Absolutely. I mean, what really should happen? We talk about counts and having scores wiped off the board and that sort of thing. But really what should happen is that it should be noticed as soon as it's happened, and then it should be a free kick and a 50-metre penalty.
So who was the offending team?
North Adelaide.
And so they played, was it Glenelg?
Woodville West Torrens
were okay with it. They weren't going to challenge it, apparently, but it was brought to their attention, and it was pressed, so they had a look at it, but they've cleared them now, haven't they?
Well, I haven't really cleared them. Yeah, they fined them the maximum amount they can fine them.
What is the fine?
I think it's about $20,000.
That's going to hurt you.
And they've docked
They've
docked them premiership points for next year, so they will lose a game in next year's competition.
Doesn't help Woodville West Torrens, though, does it?
No, I'd have a bit of the poo sandwich taste in my mouth.
It's not a nice sandwich either. I had that in my mouth on Friday night.
Yes. All right. And you didn't pay for it out of your own wallet because that was gone.
I didn't have any
somewhere.
Money, mate. Someone else had my wallet.
Thank you for joining us today. As I said, thank you for Tab Touch to bringing us to you. And we'll be back on Thursday with more in the lead up to the big weekend of footy.